C1R.
Number 6A.
As Christianity, we said, still on the level of absolute Christian science, the question is, what is life? Again, I think the best thing is if you read that short statement and think it out, what it means in terms of the categories. What is life? Answer: life is divine principle, mind, soul, spirit. That's a most interesting definition. See, she defines here life, a synonymous term, through other synonymous terms. Not in the first place through ideas of life, but first through other synonymous terms. What kind of synonymous terms? Principle, mind, soul, spirit, again, the nature of God. But the order of it is interesting, because it's the Christianity order that she presents here. You remember when Mrs. Eddy gives the order of the synonymous term in Christianity, as she gives it in the glossary, the order of the synonymous term is principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. Here you have the beginning of that order in the Christianity order. We said, yes, actually, in the system of the chapter on recapitulation, this is Christ as Christianity. You could say, why doesn't she give the other ones? Because life, truth, and love at the end of the Christianity order is the demonstration of it, the essence of it, not the nature. Because she wants only to bring out the Christ sense, the expression sense, the activity of expressing the Christ. You need for that only the creative aspect, the fatherhood aspect. Yeah, well, naturally I should explain something more, and that is this, that if you take the whole Christianity order, with the seven synonymous terms, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love, you can split that order into two categories. The first category is the creative category. Principle, mind, soul, spirit is the fatherhood of God, the creative aspect. And life, truth, and love is the motherhood aspect of that Christianity, because it shows the whole universal family, including everything, as the fatherhood, sonship, and motherhood of the idea. So at the point of the fatherhood sense, you only have here actually principle, mind, soul, spirit, bringing out at the point of spirit the true reflection. So life here first is shown as the creative idea, the fatherhood sense. Then she goes on and explains now life through the ideas of life. Again showing what does the Christ? The Christ takes the whole of God and translates it to the point of ideas. Here, now, we have life is without beginning and without end. So you get the sense of the eternality of life. Again, eternity, not time, expresses the thought of life. And time is no part of eternity. Again, you have life expressed at the point of Christianity as eternality. Eternality. One sees it in proportion as the other is recognized. Again, time is finite. Eternity is forever infinite. Again, she still is on the tone of explaining now that the creative fatherhood of God, principle, mind, soul, spirit, is bringing out an eternal creation and shows that creation as in its eternity, no time sense. Then she goes on and leaves that sense of eternality. Life is neither in nor of matter. Can you hear Christianity? She depicts now the universe and says that life is not in a material universe. What is termed matter is unknown to spirit, which includes in itself all substance, the question before, and is life eternal? Again, coming back to the eternality of life. As if she would say, look here, the Christ as a Christ there in the question, what is substance, first shows that from the reservoir of truth, life and love, of that infinite truth, of that infinite ideal, the Christ takes it and individualizes it through life and brings out the perfect idea adapted to the situation in love. And that is the idea that is brought out all over. It's a reflection of spirit. Then she has to say, and this reflection of spirit is eternalized. Gives a sense of Christianity, the Christ bringing forth the eternal universe. And it's eternalized. And it can only be eternalized if it is in spirit and not in matter, because matter is temporal. Matter is a human concept. And the moment she says that, she has to correct that human concept. With what can you correct the human concept? Only through the divine mind. That is the corrective. Therefore, she says, life is divine mind. So it's taking in also mind and say, this is a mind concept. Life is not limited. She takes in soul, because she has to take in all those nature. You see, all those synonymous terms she somehow has to take in, which she has in the first line, that principle is mind, that it is soul, and that is the spirit. So she says, yes, it's not a human concept, it's a divine concept, mind. Yes, it is not material, it is spiritual, it's spirit. Yes, it is not in something, it's never in something, but always outside something, because it's soul. And only in that way can you have an eternalized universe. Death and finiteness are unknown to life. If life had ever a beginning, it also would have an ending. Again, coming back to the main point of life, of eternalization. So, can you see what she actually wants to say is that the creative Christ idea, the fatherhood of the Christ idea, namely principle, mind, soul, spirit, from the Christianity order, that shows itself forth in the universe at the point of Christianity as an eternal reflection of spirit. Eternal. In order to be eternal, she has side explanation and say, in order to be eternal, naturally can't be material, it must be spiritual. Naturally, it can't be just a human concept, it's a concept of the divine mind. Naturally, it cannot be limited into anything. Naturally, it must be an idea of soul. But these are only the garnishing, so to say, of the main idea, saying that Christ is really an idea that brings forth the substance, the spiritual universe that is eternal, and eternalizes it. We always have that in the Christ. That's that. Now, we come to the next question that is even shorter. We come to the Christ now as the Word. We have had Christ as Christianity, but because there is no subtone of science, take in the rest, namely Christ as the Word. Christ as the Word is asking, what is intelligence? In other terms, the epitome which we have here, I don't know if it's any good, Christ expresses mind as omni-intelligence. Because all turns around intelligence. The answer is, what is intelligence? Intelligence is omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence. Again, those three terms of omni, which we had before. Perhaps you remember in the third question, in the Word as Christianity, she presented that God as, because it was in the Word, from the point of view of the Word, as omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. That was in the third, from the main point of the Word. Now here we are in the Christ, so she begins with the Christ, and not as she did in the third question with the Word, so she begins with the Christ, which is omniscience, flows further to Christianity as omnipresence, just the same way as we have been seeing it, going back to the Word as omnipotence. So you see that she does not play with these terms. She calculates exactly. It is not that she felt as we do when we write a nice article or a letter to somebody, that we feel, if I have already stated that something is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, that the second time I want to mention it, I think I changed that a little bit. So we had that we learned in school, didn't we? That we should not repeat the same terms and renderings, but we should put them a little bit in another way, so that it is not repetitory. But she teaches spiritual mathematics. Therefore, she has to be exact. She says, if I am at the point of the Christ and want to depict the Christ in those terms of omni, then I have to start with the Christ, and that's omniscience, and flow further to Christianity as omnipresence. But if she had to leave out omniaction as the Christ, she goes to the Word as omnipotence. Yeah? See, that's how Mrs. Eddy writes. She writes in categories, not in terms. She would write in terms, then she could have used any old order. But she had to follow categories. Therefore she was under the command within the straitjacket of the system and had to obey that. So he goes on and says, it, that refers to intelligence, is the primal and eternal quality of infinite mind. So here you have that term quality, which we have considered an hour ago, what quality means. What did he say? What quality meant? I just look up my notes there. Quality meant that it must express something of the real nature of that of mind. So the real quality of mind, here she would say, is intelligence. And I think that's true, that one of the most common or most used idea of mind is that we say mind is intelligence. So So intelligence here is the primal, a primal quality of mind, an eternal quality of mind, of infinite mind, of the triune principle, life, truth, and love, named God. And see, we are in the Christ as the Word. Therefore, she depicts the Word as life, truth, and love in absolute Christian Science. Whereas when we were at that question, what is substance, which was in the Christ as the Christ, she took in the Christ sequence of truth, life, love, because it was in the Christ. Here it is in the Word, life, truth, and love. Have you any idea now how exactly Mrs. Eddy was writing? It really is so. You see that right on the page 3 of the textbook, she has that marginal heading called Spiritual Mathematics. And when one reads that text, one really gets convinced that it is Spiritual Mathematics, that she just uses really her root notions of reality so exactly as if she had to show a mathematical calculation. A side remark. Here she defines intelligence as a primal quality of God. Now, there is another passage in the textbook where she says it is an attribute. I think it's the only time when she uses that. That's on page 275-14, where she says, all substance, intelligence. And actually now we have to listen rather carefully what she enumerates here. That all substance, intelligence, wisdom, being, immortality, cause and effect, of these, she says, these are his attributes, the eternal manifestation of the infinite divine principle love. Well, it doesn't seem that they are attributes when you talk about substance. That is a quality. Intelligence doesn't seem to be an attribute, really a quality. But in that long list, she enumerates a few attributes, like wisdom is actually an attribute. Mind is not wisdom. We consider the intelligence of mind to be wisdom. We give that attribute. So now, in this relation, you can understand the definition from Funk and Wagnalls, which said that, as she says, thus, while attribute may express something of the real nature, a quality must express something of the real nature. And so you can see that the moment she gives a whole list of qualities that are attributes a whole list of terms that partially are attributes and partially are qualities, then to sum them up, she naturally can say these are his, God's attribute, because attribute can be used both ways. Just to remind, because this has been I have been asked that over the last 50 years, I don't know how many times, every time a student quite naturally investigates what is a quality, what is an attribute, what is an idea, what is the nature, what is the essence, naturally he uses the text, the concordance to the textbook, and then he comes across these apparent contradictions. But if we know how language uses them, then we see that they are actually not contradictions. Yes? Well, that would be the Christ in an absolute sense. So if we consider again our epitomes here and just try to find out what it means. The epitome for the absolute Christian Science question and answer we have here. What? We said, the expression of God, the expression is the Christ of God, as the life-giving substance of divine intelligence. So intelligence is the Word, substance, the Christ, life, eternality, Christianity. You see now, I've taken those ideas of synonymous term and given to them a place value in the calculus, in the four. So if you feel the sense that God expresses itself in an intelligent way, that's the word. See you? Yes, I haven't pointed out that perhaps clear enough why the question, what is intelligence, is the word sense of the Christ, because it is this intelligence, so to say, the source, the basis, the origin of the Christ. It states, from where does the Christ draw, so to say, its idea? And therefore must say as a statement, well, the Christ is mind, it's that infinite intelligence within which the Christ idea is being conceived. We know that the Christ idea is conceived in the one divine mind, which is intelligence. So that Christ idea, intelligence, is at the point of Christ as Christ, translating itself to the universe. It takes the substance of God and translates it to the substance of the universe, so that the universe reflects that substance. And Christianity takes it and says, and that which is reflected there has an eternal nature, is of eternality, Christianity. Yeah? Are you quite sure? Okay. Let's put it another way. Just try to sense out that Christ idea. And you can say to yourself perhaps the following. You can say, whatever the situation is, whatever the problem is, whatever I have to handle, whatever the case is, I turn away from the case to reality, to God. Without God, I don't know how to handle any situation. What is God? You start out with the first six questions, what is God and what is God not? Yes? So you establish in your consciousness first the source of being, really, the basis of being, the Godhead of being, and what it is not. Then you come to the next part, the Christ, and then you begin to feel, yes, that God always expresses himself. No matter if I think of it or don't think of it, there is always that God expressing himself, bringing out the Christ idea. What is that mystical Christ idea? Can I explain it somehow in abstract ideas? And you begin to feel, yes, I can. If I perhaps turn the order here into the order of Word, Christ, Christianity in the subtones, I would say the Christ, as the Word says, this one Word that I have been considering is, so to say, the reservoir, the intelligent reservoir, which always has a terrific idea, because intelligence means that mind has an idea, that mind constantly conceives of an idea. That's Christ as the Word. And therefore, that Christ that constantly conceives of an idea always expresses that idea to its universe. And therefore translates the whole substance of God The whole ideal of God, truth, life, and love, translates it to the universe. That goes on constantly, every second, every split second, and translates it to the universe and gives to that universe eternality. Christ as Christianity. And if you just think about that very simple line, and think about it until it becomes a world feel, a consciousness feel, conscious of it, even if I am in the dreamland of materiality and anything else, still there is going on something, the Christ idea. And that Christ idea is very, very omniscient. Very, very omniscient. There's an idea. It knows what it wants to do. I don't have to tell it. It knows what it wants to do. And what does it actually do? Christ as a Christ, it translates the substance of God to the substance of the universe and gives to the universe the substance of God. But not only that, it is also of the nature of Christianity. It always is concerned that that nature of the universe is eternalized and eternalized, that it can never be taken away. You feel another kind of a world feel that you get if you stick to that? That's very different than to think every moment trouble can start, every moment error is at work, every moment the Antichrist is at work, and I'm going to fight it, and I have to be very careful and very awake that I can fight it, and I pull up my socks, and I'm going to oppose it, and to reject it, and to fight it, and to battle with it. Isn't that another feel? If you go out from the system. Yeah? Does it become tangible to consciousness, a new way of tackling the whole universe? Instead of being concerned about thousands and thousands of questions and problems and how to solve problems, there is one scientific method to do them, to solve them, and that's a pure deduction from the Infinite One. First through the Word and clarifying the Word. Then through the Christ, and seeing that that word has constantly within itself an idea, and expresses that idea, and fulfills that idea.